हरे कृष्णा। सो एज वी नोटिस इन द हॉस्पिटल डेली रेगुलरली अबाउट द डेथ्स दैट टेक प्लेस यू नो, सो हाउएवर मच यू नो अबाउट दिस सब्जेक्ट मैटर स्टिल यू गेट कन्फ्यूज्ड एट द मोमेंट ऑफ डेथ। आई सॉ दैट डे व्हेन we were doing the end of life care for Mr. Mule's mother. Even doctors like Dr. Thope, everybody was like looking very intently what was happening. It's not that Dr. Thope has not seen death in her life, you know. Her branch is such that, you know, kidney failures, they just die, that's all. But still she was very intently watching, because this event is something beyond medical purview, you know. You have given up the patient. Now, patient can't be dialyzed anymore. Patient can't undergo any other treatment. And the remaining period from you give up the patient to death calling is just not in your hands, no? Medical people are just watching. Kya ho raha hai iske aage? What's going to happen now? So from that point of view, this event of death always remains a mystery, no? For everybody, including people who are doctors, who have seen so many deaths in their life. But when their relative is on the deathbed, they just fail to become doctor. I mean, fail to remain doctor. They just become a son or a daughter or a relative. That's it. Husband or wife. They cannot just think anything. When my baby was in NICU, I was totally not a doctor at all at that time. But even Dr. Sankhe, at one point of time, gave the case to his friend Dr. Prabhu. He said, "Ki, I am emotionally involved with this child, with my friend's child. So I can't take any more decisions about this child. So, Dr. Prabhu, you take care." So at one point of time, he became very much emotionally involved, and he gave up the case to Dr. Prabhu. So you can understand that, you know, this is very intense situation, intense subject matter. And that too, when somebody is in front of death, like my baby was in front of death actually, on 26 December 2002. So, even emotions are involved, then you are no more a doctor, you cannot work as a doctor. So similarly, when such kind of events occur, even Mr. Mule was like a son. He was not a general manager of the hospital, and he was not anything. He was just recipient of whatever is happening, you know. So when the death care team is working, because they are now trained into this, so they fully know exactly what to do and how to do and how to get into this activity, when to start and when to move others aside and when to do this and when to talk to doctor. They know everything. So even if one is a devotee and one is aware theoretically of everything that is to be done, but when your relative is involved, you need somebody else to take care of your patient spiritually, you know. So I'll tell you the effect of watching all these things. When we were giving the care to Mr. Mule's mother, many doctors were watching there, and even Madam Thope was standing and also watching. What is her patient? It was dialysis patient. So she was watching so intently and so concentratedly that the whole episode got over, and she, I think, left in between after some time. And next day she met one of my staff, and she said with great heartfelt feeling, "Ki, you will give me the same care now when I will die." Now, this is a very deep statement, you know. That means she must have been so moved to see the whole thing, what's going on. And she said, "Wow, this is a great fortune, you know. I don't know whether I'll be able to get these services for myself when I'm on deathbed." And also she must have felt convinced ki this is required and I will love to have this if I am on deathbed. So very seriously, not jokingly, not smilingly, not like anything. Very seriously she asked Gopikant that you will give me the same kind of care now when I will depart. I said, "Yes, definitely we will provide you. If you are around, you are around us, we will provide you that." So what is important to know, that all of you being nurses, you know, always you are subjected to these situations, you know. You are never free from these situations. You are always into this situation. And you cannot remain confused. You cannot remain puzzled and confused and don't know what to do next, you know. But still you will know medically what to do next. But then at one point of time you will not know what to do spiritually next. You will be stuck, you know. What to do now? But I feel all of you should know exactly what is happening. When there is that chain stroke breathing is going on, when there is that last rattling sets in, rattling takes place, what to do, what is exactly happening? The person is not responding, he is in his final struggle. So what is happening? We should all know this, exactly what is happening. In that stage, the person may be in coma, the person may be in unconsciousness, person may be semi-conscious, person may be violent, person may be struggling, person may be shouting in pain, even in semi-conscious condition. Because the Sunday person who died was constantly in pain, was just stopping, you know, here and there, rolling in the bed and shouting, raising his hands, you know, he was tied up in the bed and constantly he was struggling. And when someone would talk to him spiritually, some message, he would just remain quiet. As soon as the communication ended, he would again start doing the same thing, you know. And that continued for a long time. So you may feel that, I don't know what is happening, whether he is conscious, unconscious, able to hear or not hear, how do I relate to him? But all of you should know that however unconscious or semi-conscious or drowsy the patient may be, but he is able to hear inside. That you should know. You may say that, no, I know this patient is bilaterally deaf. I know his case. He's a ENT case, unable to hear from both the ears. So what is the use of my calling or praying to him, for him? No, but the soul is able to hear. It is not the way we understand how we hear. It's not that way he hears. He hears through spiritual power. Now we understand hearing because we feel that this is how we hear. It has to go in the ear, then it will go to that membrane and then it will clear vibrations and then the cochlear nerve will get activated and the message will go in the brain and there it will be interpreted and there it will be understood that whatever you have spoken. This is how we understand hearing. But this is mechanical hearing. There is some hearing which is beyond that also, right? And you see, you hear within your some voice within, or you perceive some message. Because spiritual things are not depending upon your equipment in the body. The hearing apparatus or your hearing aid that you have put or your deafness partially, fully. It doesn't depend on that. When soul is concerned and involved, the method of communication is spiritual, totally. Even if you don't make a sound and you pray intensely in the heart, the soul is able to perceive that. Because it is spiritual. It's not filmy song or some worldly song or some praise here and there. It is connected to God and it is very sincere and heartfelt and it is intense. So the soul is able to perceive on spiritual platform everything that you communicate. So knowing this well, you may not get any response from the patient on the bed. He is either fully dead, unconscious and whatever, you know, totally deep comatose. But you should know that when you call out the holy name, the effect of that holy name sound vibration is on the soul and the soul receives that message from you. And when time comes of death, like yesterday I was holding Mrs. Mule's hand constantly, you know, my hand was on pulse only constantly when I was praying, and I could see that how the pulse slowly was reducing. It came to bare minimum of 10 per minute, you know, lastly it began with 100 per minute. And I was following up properly, it just went on reducing like anything. Then I had to hold the brachial pulse. I was holding radial pulse before. Then I left that. And she had a AV fistula. So it was quite, you know, turbulent kind of pulse was there. That also stopped for some time. Then I held the brachial pulse. That went on reducing in volume, in force, in rate. And then I saw the flower on the jugular pulse was moving. Even after the brachial pulse disappeared. No pulse in brachial area. But in jugular area, the flower is moving due to the pressure of the pulse. This is how the things happen. Soul is departing. And that time, when this active dying process, we call it in palliative care, called active dying process, where the chain stroke breathing, when the rattling sets in and then the gasping takes place, gradually the rate goes on decreasing. So that time, the soul doesn't need any medical help. But nothing is going to help him. His departure is decided. He has to go. So your intracardiac adrenaline and your CPR and your dexamethasone and your hydrocortisone, nothing is going to work on him. Your intravenous adrenaline, intracardiac adrenaline, nothing is going to work on him. The soul is simply helpless. If the soul is spiritually powerful on his own, you know, whole life he has prayed and he has nourished himself and he is very strong spiritually, that's one thing. And if he is not, then he needs help from outside. Many things may be occurring to him, many thoughts may be coming to him, you know, many botherations, many anxieties, many worries may be troubling him that time. What will happen to my daughter who is not married or who is financially weak, or what will happen to my wife who is alone, what will happen to my son who is abroad? So many things will come to his mind. And what will happen to my service which I was doing? Many anxieties may hamper his progress. At that time, he needs assurance and he needs prayers. And it is explained in scriptures that at that moment of time, in those moments of time struggle, the soul is very grateful for all those who pray for him. But those prayers done in the name of God give strength to the soul to pass on from one stage to another stage and then travel further. And once it's passed on from the body, he's out, like jugular pulse gone, heartbeat gone, everything gone, breathing stopped, and you declare he's dead, he's no more in the body anymore. Right? That means he has just left the body out. He's like just left the train and got to platform. So at that time also it is soul is helpless. Because either he can be or she can be haunted with the messages of death, or the punishers may come to pick him up, or he may be hanging on. So many options are available. But at that very moment, if somebody is continuously praying, in the process of active dying, just at death and just after death, everything are important. In the active dying process, at the moment of death, there is departure, and after death, if continuous prayers are going on in the name of the Lord, then the soul gets all nourishment and gets strength to go ahead, the next destination. And what hampers the soul? Well, all his anxieties hamper him. Another thing that hampers the soul's further progress is relatives crying. When the relatives cry, everybody cries. Crying is natural. But some people cry in a very aggressive manner, very violently or something, like too much of beating of chest and everything. That time, the soul is hindered. I'll give an example to you. You'll understand exactly what is the meaning of this. Suppose you are going abroad, and now you have to leave your child, your husband, your mother and your sisters, everything back, and you have to go for 2 years, for example. So everybody has come to airport to drop you, and finally you have checked in and everything, and you come out again to say bye-bye. And when you say bye-bye and you go 2 steps further, your child cries, "Mommy!" Then what do you do? Again you come back and again hug the child, give a kiss, and again you go. And then your sister cries, "Didi." Then you come back and again you hug her and give a kiss and you go. And finally you see that your husband also is crying. So again you come and hold him and again go. So what is happening by this way? Your progress to the further journey is hindered. Again you are pulled back by the emotions of the people. Same thing happens with the soul when the soul is departing. Everybody is crying and somebody is crying more, and then the soul is a person, he's not in the body now, but he's a person. So he gets pulled by the emotions back and forth. We are not suggesting that you should not cry. One should be natural. One should not become suppress emotions and become artificial, trying to show how controlled I am. Not like that. One should be full of emotion. There's no problem about that. But we should know that too much of emotional feelings at that moment may hinder the progress of my beloved. That we should know. Yes, I am free to express my emotions, but because of my free and over expression of emotions, my beloved whom for whom I am crying, his progress is also hindered. So what I will do? I will do the process now of prayers first, and then I will go home and cry. Because he is or she is hindered by this process. There is one story in the scriptures that one king died in the warfield. And he had many queens. And in those days the queens would also accompany the king in the war. Not in the war, they will stay in the tent, but very near the war they will stand. Where they, in the night the king will come to rest in the tent, there they are all there to dress his wounds and to care for him and to encourage him and to push him further if he's down emotionally. So all the queens would accompany. That's called Kshatriya queens, They are wives of military people, administrators. They are very bold and brave. We call Kshatriyas, they are like warriors' wives. So when the king died, immediately the queens ran from the tent and came where the dead body was. And they were crying and crying and crying, because the usual method is that they will leave their hair loose and they will come and they will cry. So they were crying for a long time. So the king's soul just couldn't leave that place because the queens were crying so badly. Who will look after us now? Who will take care of us? Who will feed us? Who will protect us? We'll be in the hands of enemy and we'll be exploited. These, that, so many things the queens were crying. And the soul couldn't be departed. Soul was already dead. Well, the body is dead. Soul is out of the body. But soul couldn't progress further. So much time went by in crying that the messengers of God and death, both, they could not progress further. So the Lord of Death took a form of a Brahmin boy and came to the warfare and told his ladies, why are you crying so much? He is not going to come back by your crying. Now enough time has passed, you have expressed your emotions. Now he is stuck because of your emotional exhibition. Now please stop crying, otherwise he will be hanging on like a ghost and he will not be able to progress to the next destination. So when the Brahmin boy spoke his wisdom words, the queens got pacified and the soul left. So the Lord of Death himself had to come down to advise in a visible form to these queens, counsel them and take the soul away. So exactly spiritual care is that way only. Why we are around? Because we need to counsel the people, just to pacify them, give them shoulder and to give them whatever, privacy to cry, whatever. But with next to the body, when they sit and cry, it is very difficult for the soul to leave. You can imagine if you are alive and you are going to abroad and people are just crying, you will not be able to board the plane, you will just hang on there only. You will feel twice, shall I go or not go? Last one also you will feel, you are already checked in. You feel, no, I think I should not go. That thoughts will come in mind, you want to go, but still you are pulled back and forth. So this we should understand very carefully. That is why when the death took place one time of the young man here in some accident, and he's just married and his wife was pregnant for 3 months and young couple, and she and it's almost declared that he cannot survive. So bad accident was there. The wife was just simply crying, almost falling unconscious again and again. So Nartaki Mataji met her and told her, now what you can do? Can you change the destiny? Because she was crying so bitterly, she had to be counseled and given support. So he said, what you can do? Can you change the destiny? No. She accepted, I cannot change. He is going to go, I know, for sure we know. Is it for sure that you have to live alone now with this child in the womb and give birth to the child and raise the child and live the life alone without his being around you? Yes. Do you think he is alone now on the battle of death? Yes. Do you think your crying will help him in the last battle of birth and life and death? No. Do you think you can do some help to him? What do you think? Yes. If you are prepared, you can do great help to him at the moment of death. But there will be no help to him if he simply sit and cry over here. He will fight the battle of his life and death and have to live alone. Rather, you gather yourself now, because he is your beloved, you please be with him, go to him, stand to him, next to him, hold his hand, put next hand on his head and tell him, I am there standing next to you. Don't think you are alone. I am praying for you. I'll pray to the Lord to help you to depart very peacefully and go to the better destination. So she was like, ready. She was like, yes, this is good. I can go on crying afterwards, whatever a number of hours I want. But right now, at the crucial time of my beloved person departing, so let me do something for him. And I can do for him. That confidence this lady has given me, that you can do a great thing for your beloved. So she got ready. And then she asked, what should I do? She said, come. I'll take you to the ICU. And you'll be a little surprised to see him with lot of tubes and unconscious and gasping and this and that and lot of machines making sound, pee, 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 all these things. I'll explain to you all this scene before only. Prepare your mind to see the scene and accept him in the scene. So she heard everything, what kind of scene she may be able to see after she goes to ICU. So with the holding hand, she was taken inside and she saw the same scene. She was a little bit surprised and shocked to see before entering the glass door. But then again Mataji consoled her and prepared her mind, don't worry, this is, you have to go in and help him out. Then actually Mataji gave her hand into that husband's hand, put her hand into on the head of the husband and told her what to speak. Because she didn't know, somehow to non-responding person, how do you speak, You can't speak to this harmonium. I don't know how to speak the harmonium. I don't know how to speak because he's not responding. Like that person who's unconscious, what to speak to him? He's not responding anything. So she was dictated what to speak. Like so-and-so, whatever name was, I am here. Are you hearing? I am here next to you. I am standing here. Please don't worry. I forgive you. You forgive me. I love you very much. Don't worry. I will take care of myself when you will die. Don't worry about ourselves. We'll properly take care of ourselves. I'll take care of the child who is going to take birth. And everybody is going to take care of themselves. They all love you. And don't worry about anything. We have forgiven you for whatever you think you need to get forgiven for. And you forgive us for whatever we have done to you. Please be peaceful and try to remember the Lord now. That's what is most important for you. I'm also assisting you for the prayer. You also pray. I'm also praying for you. And you will pass away very peacefully. And I will pray to God to help you. So this is what she was told, and then she kept on speaking the same statements, and then the things became very intense, and then finally at one moment he departed. And then also she kept on praying and kept on praying and kept on putting holy waters and tulsi leaf and all those things. And then she was taken to grief room and she burst out, and long time she cried. Then she settled down and she told Mataji, thank you very much. If you are not there, I would have been utterly useless to my husband. In the name of being very dear to him, in the name of very, beloved and everything, still I would be useless to him, because what I would do? Nothing. But because you guided me properly, I am proud that he passed away, but I was able to do some really useful help to him in the name of God. Same thing our Vaidehi madam said. She said that my father passed away in this hospital. But the way I was oriented to do whatever I could do, I felt so fortunate to help my father in that most crucial hour of need of help, He was in so much help, need of help. And because those who are near ones, they can help better because they know all the background, so they can really talk and really empathize with the person very nicely. So you have to involve those people. Because still we are third party, however kind we may be, but still we are third party. We don't know what is that person, what is his background and what are his relationships. But a son is there, a daughter is there, a daughter-in-law is there, or a mother is there, a husband is there. They can do much more emotionally powerful activities. Like when Gauranga Prabhu's father was leaving, the statements were given to the relatives, now please do this exchange. So paper said that, I love you, you love me, I forgive you forgive me. The Lord is waiting for you. And the lines were there. And they are so bland lines in one sense. But how they were speaking, Appa, Appa, I love you, Appa, very much. I love you very much, Appa. Be sure I love you very much. I forgive you. Everything whatever you feel I should forgive you, please be sure I forgive you. And you also, Appa, forgive us. So there is something additional. No? There is not only my mechanical lines, I forgive you, you forgive me, I love you, you love me. It's not like that. So when you are close, then you can add so many emotions and feelings. And the person who is inside is receiving everything, by the way. You may not have any response from the person. The person is receiving everything inside. So then you can, once you start getting into this practice of doing things, you will understand that actually there is a response. The person may be unconscious, but the moment you pass holy waters, he will just start sucking very quickly. Like Gaurang Prabhu's father was accepting every feed in dropper in his mouth, was so enthusiasm, you know, although he was semi-conscious, totally not communicable. But I must have given him 50 times the holy waters in his mouth. And every time I was telling him, Uncle, this is Radhakund water, this is Gangajal, Uncle, this is Tulsi from Radha Gopinath's lotus feet, Uncle, this is dust from the holy land of Vrindavan, Uncle, this is Chandan from Chandan Yatra of Radha Gopinath temples, Gopalji, Uncle, this is Radhakundjal. Everything I was telling him, you know, it was like very personal interaction. And all those materials which we are administering, and all the prayers which we are uttering, everything is nourishing the soul. And also helping the soul to get detached from the all attachments which is holding him here. So with every name of the Lord, every prayer that you pass on, he is just, you know, gradually severing all the attachments and getting free. But for doing that himself, he needs support. He has to do it himself. Like exam, you have to write yourself only. Nobody, no uncle can come and write the exam for you. But you can be supported, no, before exams and, you know, given full idea, orientation, counseling, like that. So with that strength, he goes and he only gives exam. So like that, he only cuts his all bondages before death. He is also, himself has to pass the test. But all that external support gives him strength. And this is the greatest fortune. You know, one may die on the road and nobody will be around him. And only some government workers will lift him and put him in the ambulance and take him, and he may die, he may be lifted to put in the mortuary. You know, it's just a mechanical affair. Who is supporting anybody? There's nothing. But this kind of departure is possible. By all the kindness of all of yours, this is possible, no? And he may be unknown to you, but still you can be kind to that person. You may be on the road and you may be passing by, you may just stand for 2 minutes and pray to Lord, for example. Or you may be in the BST bus and somebody is just got accident and about to die on the road. And your bus is just standing on a signal or a halt or traffic jam somewhere. And you happen to see the dead body, the person who is not yet dead, but you know, in the accident situation. You can spare a moment of prayer. Pray to Lord, please help him. Chant his name. Offer a heart to him for a few minutes. That also will help him. We have to have that faith. We all should know also one thing. Suppose you come to know that some beloved relative is passing away in Bombay, and you happen to be in Switzerland that time, and you just cannot come to do all these things while the person is dying here. By the time you plan to come and you come, he will be also in the crematorium. So just sit down wherever you are in Switzerland. Concentrate on this person whom you love, wherever he is, in Bombay or wherever, and start offering your prayers. Why they will reach the person? Because they are spiritual activities. You are not making sound on loudspeaker and sending the loudspeaker over there. You are just making a sound over here of prayer. But because it is spiritual activity, pure spiritual platform, the soul here will receive the benefit of the prayer from wherever you are praying for. So we should not feel morose or, you know, despondent, I am not there, I can't do anything for you. Nothing like that. Today we have got mobiles. So my Guru Maharaj was in Ukraine that time. You know where Ukraine is? Very far from here. So from Ukraine he called up and first spoke to him on the phone. He by his name said, Prabhuji, I am very grateful to you. You have been a great father to your son. You have given your son to the temple and he has been delivering so many people from suffering in life and giving them spirituality. I am very, very grateful to you for giving a son to Krishna. He spoke to him. And for that time, there was no suffering. Huh? There was no shouting. There was no nothing was going on. He was listening. And the phone call ended and he again started doing the same thing. Then again my Gurudev called in 15 minutes time and he said that I want to actually chant the holy name for him in his ears. So again the phone call was put in his ears and he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Again he was quietly listening everything. You can imagine. So we can use this modern technology wherever you may be, far in Timbuktu, for example. You can make a call and actually speak to your beloved in the ears. Whatever prayer you want to say, whatever assurance you want to give, whatever consolation you want to give, don't worry, I will take care of your child. I don't worry, I will take care of your miseries or anxieties. You just be peaceful now. I forgive you for everything. Whatever you want to say, you can say that. And if there is no facility of communication as well, still doesn't matter. You sit down and you start praying. I'll give another example to you. Not even sitting, you can even talk to the person while you are there, wherever you are. Dr. Dalal's father, our Dwarkadish Prabhu's father, you know, he was very keen on calling Guru Maharaj. And he was very keen. So I had just gone to see him and I saw his condition. I said, "Sri Dwarkadish Prabhu, he may not survive, you know. And he has desired to talk to Guru Maharaj. You must today only communicate." He said, "I don't know how to communicate." I said, "Don't worry, I will arrange the whole phone calls and everything. Just don't worry." And then finally, after 2-3 hours, we located Guru Maharaj wherever he was in America, and then got the number and told him everything. I briefed him everything, what's happening. And then I said, "Ki Mao, I'll give the phone to Mr. Dalal." So Guru Maharaj spoke to him on speakerphone, you know. Very clearly, he was so sick actually. Almost, he had no strength only. But he was saying, "Guru Maharaj, I want to offer myself at your lotus feet. My life is in your hands. You please guide me. Now what I should do in this condition? What is my duty in this condition?" Now can you imagine? Somebody on the deathbed can have such crystalline clear consciousness to ask a saintly person, "Ki, now I am at your hands. I want to offer my life to you. Tell me from now on till death what I should do." Very inspiring statement. I don't know whether we can make this statement before we die, you know, very consciously. So the Guru Maharaj spoke to him, whatever inspiring word, thanking and inspiring and encouraging him, and told him what to do, how you should chant the holy name now, and concentrate your mind, just give up all the attachments in mind of everything what you have. Just only one thing you concentrate about, the Lord and everything. So that happened and he became extremely peaceful after the phone call got over. And the next whole day, previous days, every day he was in same condition, but he was talking so many things, you know, asking so many questions, and anxieties were there. After that phone call, he was absolutely peaceful like an ocean. No anxiety on face, no demands, no talks, nothing. He was absolutely within himself with closed eyes. He was fully conscious, but he was very sick, like, you know, completely in active dying process. Now the story starts. You should listen to carefully what exactly I'm telling now to you. Whole day, almost 24 hours, no dialogue between Dr. Dalal, Mrs. Dalal, Mr. Dalal, Narendra Dalal, nothing happening. And the next day morning, he left his body. So next day morning, they were all praying, we all were there, and nicely he departed, getting all the holy waters, names, prayers, everything. And then we informed our Gurudev, "Guru Maharaj, we were want to inform you that my father left his body, and like this happened." So we were very happy the way he left. And then something very significant my Guru Maharaj said. He said that yesterday whole day when I was packing my bag to move from one place to another, he was going to go to some other place to give lectures. So he was packing the whole day. He said, "Ki, whole day I was talking to him in my mind." And sure enough, why he was so quiet the whole day? The communication was going on beautifully. You know. So you may say, "I don't believe all these things. This is all, you know, your imagination and your own emotional feeling." But you will have the feeling when your beloved is going to go away, you will understand exactly how things happen. Then we could understand why suddenly this man kept quiet for the whole day. So even if you are away somewhere far country, you know, you can speak to your beloved in the heart and pass on the message, whatever you want to pass on. You know, don't worry, whatever you want to say, you say. And leave it to God to communicate. Like when you speak on that mobile, are you doing anything technically? That you are trying to put the tower in place and put a button on of the tower, electricity, nothing you are doing. You are just speaking. Rest, everything is done by the tower control board and the service provider and Reliance and Videocon. Is that right? So what are you doing? Only speaking and depending on the company, service provider to communicate your message to the next party. Is that right? In this case, you speak and you leave it to the Lord. Pray to Him, please, I am speaking to my beloved, this spiritual message, you please see how it can reach the soul. And depending on your sincerity and intensity and love and affection for that person, Lord will communicate to that person. This is the power of love, you know. If you are really concerned about somebody, really worried about somebody, really have love for somebody, your love can be communicated by transcendental or spiritual media, spiritual methods to the other person. Because that person is spirit soul, you are spirit soul, and God is supreme spirit. With this understanding, when you pass messages, it works. If you have doubts and you have lack of faith, nothing will work. And it will prove your lack of faith. Ki dekho, main bola na kuch nahi hota hai. Nothing happened. Where is God? Nothing is spiritual here. Everything is nonsense. God will prove your lack of faith also. Sir, if you don't have faith, okay. For you, there is no communication. So you can be convinced. Nothing happens. But those who have faith and those who have understanding of this intensity of prayers, wherever you are in the world, the communication will take place. One girl was, she is in Jammu. She is very wonderful devotee. And at 12:23, she sent an SMS. I was just chanting the holy name of the Lord and suddenly I got a jolt in my brain. And that message came to one of the devotees here who was with Gaurang Prabhu's father. And that time only Gaurang Prabhu's father departed. So that devotee showed me, see, our friend, the message has come that she got a jolt in her brain. Because she knew Gaurang Prabhu, she knew her father, everybody very well. So it is also said that you may be totally unaware of what's happening to your beloved, somewhere far off. But if you love that person and you have some emotional ties with the person, you will get some message. You will get some, what do you call that, intuition, or some disturbance will take place. In my childhood, in my next house, in the dreams, in the night, middle of the night, in the room, father was sleeping on the bed and sons were on the ground. And the father passed away in the middle of the night sometime. And when he passed away, there was no sound, nothing happened. But the son just woke up, you know, just jumped from the bed. So something happened. So he put the light on and he saw father is no more. So now nobody woke him up. But when you love somebody and when you have that affectional bond, things happen which you cannot explain by scientific logic, you know. You may not be able to explain how this happens. But this happens. Even if you are far off also, things may happen to you. So you have to keep faith. The Lord is there. And to between the two loving people, the love is genuine. The Lord is also in between to communicate. So all the things that we are trying to do in the end of life care is to connect the soul with God. Somehow or other. Whatever power I may have or I may not have, I may not be spiritually very advanced or very powerful or very saintly or anything. Whatever power I have, I should use to connect that soul who is departing to God. It could be any ways. It could be Hindu way, it could be Christian way, it could be Muslim way, it could be no way or whatever way, you know, whichever way. And there are always ways you can do that, needful. And with whatever resource available, you must connect. You may not have everywhere, you know, Gangajal and Tulsi and all the things what we are writing. Or you may not have Zamzam water, or you may not have Jordan River water, or you may not have, you know, the holy food substance given by your priest in the church, or you may not have cross of Jesus in the hand that time. You may be, so many things may be there which you want to do, but you may not be having. Doesn't matter. You have yourself, no? Your very loving soul is present over there. No, we should use that everything. All the things are going to assist your feelings, to transfer your feelings to the soul. Right? So we have to have that faith that you are a living entity, part and parcel of God. You are very much there. So you can just touch the head of the person and imagine that you are pouring Gangajal and you are pouring Jordan water and playing the food material given by priest. Everything you can imagine and just mentally pass on to the person. And you'll receive the benefit. It's not like physically only everything has to happen, you know. If you can get it, it's fine. If available, you must do it. But if you don't have it, nothing stops by that. And for all these things to happen through you, you must be having good spiritual substance within you. You cannot be a blank person spiritually with no interest or no liking or no taste for God. Then all your efforts will be useless, because you have to have a spiritual substance in you. That's one of the requirement of qualifications of a death care giver, is having good spiritual substance. You just cannot be a mechanically faithless person. Then nothing will happen, you know, nothing great will happen. If there is in the pot, then you can give it in the spoon to another's plate. If there is nothing in the pot, you make a lot of sound, but nothing will come in the spoon and nothing will go in the next person's bowl. So you have to have something over here to give somebody else something. It just cannot be a mechanical affair. That is why all of us need to be a sincere devotee of the Lord. In whichever faith we are, whichever walks of life we are, whichever caste, creed, nationality, race we may be, we must love God. We must love God, pray to Him, daily nourish ourselves, strengthen ourselves. And thus we will be able to receive, give that spiritual care to that person who is dying, who is in the most need. The most dreadful hour of his life is the moment of death. The most helpless hour of the life. I must have given Sister Margaret's example to you so many times in this class. You may not remember, with one of the famous hospice nurses, Sister Margaret. She says, my whole day is prayer only. I get up in the morning, do my morning course, and simply pray for the every patient whom I am going to attend that day. Because the beds are fixed. You know, Andrews are he is here, and Julius is there, and Maria is there. You know, everybody is there in the bed who is under your care. So when I do my morning course and I sit for prayer, I will pray for every single patient who is under my care. Till the time I go to office, get ready and go to office, I keep praying while dressing, while doing things, while taking bath, everything. And I will go to office, I mean hospice, and then I attend that patient, say I attend Julius, and while doing his spiritual care, or hospice care, or palliative care, I keep praying in my mind while I am actually dressing or giving IV or whatever painkiller medicine or whatever, I'll keep praying for that patient. Then next patient. So while I'm working for 8 hours, I'll keep praying while doing all my services to my patients. And then I'll come home, wash up myself, kneel down in front of my Lord with a candle, and I'll again pray for all the patients whom I'm serving. That way, from morning to evening, till night I sleep, I'm simply praying. So I'm sure all of you can do that, if you are really like that, mentally oriented. What requires is a heart. It doesn't require a degree, it doesn't require an oration, it doesn't require good looks or good talks or good philosophy or good lecturing. What requires for this is a heart which is full of spirituality, is full of affection and compassion. And that is there, then the holy name will spring out, the prayer will spring out, the kindness will spring out, intensity will come, everything will come, communication will take place from far distances to close distances, and the soul will get nourished. Everything will happen if you have a heart of that kind, of that nature. And that heart, the Lord loves very much. When you do all these things, the service may be done to the person who is dying, but you should be sure that the most pleased, the Lord, will be with you. Because you are doing help to somebody else, not for yourself. It's a selfless act of service and compassion. So you will receive so many blessings by that. And you will be also assured that when I will go in that stage of helplessness, Lord will send somebody to help me. I don't know how to plead to the Lord. Please, my Lord, send somebody now. I'm alone. No, you may be of any caste, any creed, you know. When you have received generic spiritual help, you have given to somebody, then you will get generic spiritual care when you will be in that condition. If you are free from all that mental block, you know, Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Bhai, this, that, you are not, you know, diseased by that thought process. and you give selfless care without being deceived by that thought process, when you will be in that condition, you will receive the same kind of care. People will come running for you out of love. Not saying that he is my Christian friend, he is my Muslim friend, he is my Hindu friend. They will just come to help you out of love, out of compassion, and kindness and friendship. So that's why we should understand that when we do such kind of help, you are being washed by God. How much genuine you are, how much sincere you are, and where you are, where your consciousness is, what is your motivation, everything Lord is observing, and every single thing will be rewarded to you when you will be in the condition like that. That is why whether we are close to somebody or not close to somebody, we should just run and give help. Offer prayers from heart. That is the essence of all this end of life spiritual care that is being happening here. It is not just superficial, putting some water and superficially, you know, doing some drums and cymbals and some songs are being sung. It's not like that. It's quite deep than what we see. And when you do that, such kind of intense, deep services, even the people who are watching, they get moved by this. That is why Madam Zope was asking, ki, please give me also this care when I will be in that condition. So somewhere, because of the in-depth services offered and it's being watched, there's a change in the heart, and there's stir inside the heart. And the heart moves. And you get such inspiration, genuine. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Regarding this, you also must have observed everything for the last few days, what's going on here. So try and, you know, come to this platform. Now you may be a nurse, you may be superintendent, maybe whatever you are. You know, more before that, one has to be a very well-nourished, strong spiritual person in yourself. Not to become a good nurse in this hospital, but for being a good person within yourself, for yourself only, for your own life only. You have to be like that. You cannot be just... For a particular purpose I am doing like this. As soon as I go out of Bhaktivedanta Hospital, I have to forget all these things. It's not like that. This is an eternal life help for you. When you learn this thing here, it will help you in your village, in your building, in your corridor, in the bus, in the train, in the road, everywhere. It will make your life rich and helpful to everybody else. Okay? Hare Krishna.